Okay, so welcome back. We're at it again. So let me give you just a little breakdown. At 3 o'clock to 6, we're going to go on break time, free time for you guys. You guys are welcome to stay here, go into town. Right now in Santa Barbara, they got the fiestas going on. So I'm going to tell you again what they do down there. It's nothing but food and booze. So you're welcome to go down there. It's a blast. You know, they have a lot of fun. But that's that. Yes? They usually do it, and I think right now, since it is Fiesta Days in Santa Barbara, they may have it. I don't see why they wouldn't. But all up and down State Street, it's just a big party. So that's happening over there. If you want to stay here at the retreat, you're more than welcome to. We'll be around. Or you want to take a nap, that's up to you. So if you want to go visit Oprah, that's up to you as well. You know, so whatever you want to do. Paul McCartney's not too far away either. So either way, whatever you want to do, you know, whether you go or not, but it'll be from 3 to 6 o'clock. Now, here's another thing you need to remember. At 6 o'clock, we start dinner. So please, if you're not... Oh, I know. So, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, first things first, remember, Faust. So from 6 to 7 is dinner, and then from 7 to 7:30, we're going to have a brief committee business. Let me see. And then we go back to 7:30 to 8:30, we're going to be sharing. And then we're going to talk about the personal letters that we wrote last year. So we're going to go through that. And then from 8:30 till on, we'll talk about the kitchen sink, question and answers, and stuff like that. So, you guys went out there, broke up into groups, 3 questions were given to you. What am I eating about? Who am I eating for? And do I accept my compulsive overeating disease? And the other one is, if I could say something to anyone, what would I tell them? You know, and write it down. Maybe a lot of you guys didn't have time to do that, but whatever. But what I would like to ask is, I'd like to ask a few volunteers who would like to come up and share what are they eating about? Do you have our group ups?
Yeah.
Fine, do it that way. Come on up.
Our group was so great, we get an A. Because we all did all of the questions. In the interest of maintaining anonymity, I got to go through them, but I'm not going to say who said what, and then you guys can just figure it out. Okay. One. To numb feelings. And this was great. 4 appetizers in the acronym interest of this retreat. HALT. I'm hungry, I'm angry, I'm lonely, and I'm tired. And that will make you eat. Those are the appetizers to eating. To numb feelings. Okay, and then in answer to question 2, he ate for us. His wife was anorexic. And so for both, I thought that was fantastic. And as far as whether or not he was had accepted, he thinks so. And the message to himself is, excess food served its purpose, but you do not need it anymore. Ah, that was brilliant. Question 1, stress management to tranquilize feelings. I ate for myself. Yes. Difficult to admit it. Easier to accept it. And more difficult to admit it to others. Message to myself. Be careful and don't slip. And be very careful because I have a big problem with free food and buffets. And we had a big discussion about free food and buffets. Okay. this is obviously mine, so I'll just say it is mine. One, pain. Two, for my son, my ex-wife, son two, my second son, my grandparents, the non-accepting society around me, critics who pan my work, executives who say no to my projects, and I stop there, but I could fill this notebook with that one. And question three, to accept the disease means to accept God. For me, so I'm still unsure on that point, equivocal. And of course, I would speak to my son and I would say to him, I cannot save you. You're on your own journey. All my attempts to save you only enabled you, and I can only save myself. Okay. Fourth member. I ate to hide the pain and insecurity. Number two, I ate to hurt and punish myself. Question three, yes, I accepted it August 1st, 2008. Question four, to my ex-wife. It's so funny because I could have written this exact same thing myself, and so... you let go of the best thing that ever happened to you in your life. Thank you for releasing me to fulfill and achieve my dreams. And thank you for our two beautiful sons. We then had discussion about all of these things, and they were very beautiful and very moving, and there was a lot of recovery in them. And one of the issues that came up, based on my having mentioned my grandparents, was the issue of cleaning one's plate, and that being emphasized very strongly in households. I know it was in mine. And the recovery came out of that, which was to try to break that tape in one's head and always leave a bite of one's food on the plate for God. Thank you.
Number two. Number two.
We didn't really pick a spokesman. We never got to that part of it.
You could be number
six. I can stop for myself. That chapter opens and it goes down and you disappear forever. What am I eating over? I think some of this was shared by others, but I can really only give my own. Fear of dying, fear of getting a sudden heart attack, fear and guilt over denying my wife love, fear of going to sleep, fear of not going to sleep. Who am I eating for? Well, I'm eating for my grandmother, who always made sure I ate all her food and cleaned the plate. And I was heavy, and she was thin as a little bird. And she never cleaned her plate, and she didn't care if she ate nothing that other people made. So there was a double standard there. I'm eating for my mother. My mother loved cake, any kind of sweets. My father hated sweets and loved only fruit, so I ate fruit Danish. That solved that problem. Do I fully understand and accept my disease? I go in and out about that. I often want to eat in front of the TV or at movie houses, so I don't have to be aware of my disease. And there's a relationship between the compulsion and wanting to keep eating. What do I want to say to that special person? I love you. I'm sorry for the times I have hurt you. I feel guilty about the times I have deceived you. I feel bad about the times I have withheld my love from you. I am working hard on becoming a better person for myself and for you. Thanks.
John, compulsive eater. He's the guy who figured out we were supposed to be keeping track, which we'd forgotten about, so I wrote down. Some of this is in sort of recollection, and we actually front-loaded this and ran out of time at the end. Eating about, quieting fears, regulating feelings. See, you know, if we're too far up, find something to get us down, something down, make us feel up. Sometimes eating out of boredom. You know, sometimes eating because of a physical addiction to certain things that we find we need more of. Feeling sorry for ourselves, as somebody else sort of echoed the boredom and talked about habit. Another person talked about eating over angry wife and co-workers. Another person talked about eating over his wife's alcoholism and a desire for numbness. Talked about soothing oneself to feel better after having bad self-feelings. Who did we eat over? We had less time for this. Wives were a big one. We ate to help those poor children that were starving in Europe and China and, I don't know, all other countries, I think except Italy. I don't think there are any children starving in Italy. And to please our parents, a lot of us, again, we were the recipients of food pushers, and so this is still something we're carrying with us many years later. Accepting disease, one person had really had time for two people to say anything. That was yes, they accept it, and you know, as a result, has a food plan, 3 meals a day, nothing in between, and one day at a time. And another saying, yes, you go to meetings, I use the tools, and I do things like come here to help me with my disease. And we only had time for the one person who was talking about having a father who had been less than sparkling, and then later in life after retirement realized and changed and said, gee, too bad you hadn't figured that out sooner. So that's what we had from group three.
Make sure I don't get that trap door. Don, compulsive overeater. Well, on the what am I eating about part, well, we first spent probably more time than we should have talking about the fact that certain foods do have a trigger for more. A lot of those certain of the carbohydrates really trigger you to want more, even though, and eat beyond the amount you should have, just because the satiation doesn't come for about 20 minutes after you've eaten, and also these foods particularly do that. The remedy for that is to have a food plan and also to weigh and measure. We also talked about how food has been equated with love, and many of our parents expressed their love for us with food. You fell down and hurt yourself, here, let me give you something special. Or, you know, this is the way that I can let you know I love you. Also, we were all taught to clean our plates, and I related an anecdote with a friend of mine who said, you know, it's just amazing to watch you eat, because no matter how much food is on that plate, they almost don't have to wash it when you're finished with it. We also talked about how food could provide a social life. I was sort of an ugly duckling as a kid, and a much different size from all the rest, even before I got to be fat as well, that I felt very isolated and lonely, and one of the ways that I didn't have to think about how isolated and lonely I was by stuffing food in my mouth. If I'm eating something, I don't have to think about anything other than I could stay in the now better when I'm eating than almost any other time. So that was there. That was one of our conclusions. And also, isolation and isolation from feelings and food being a friend, or in lieu of having other friends. So this is what we were eating about. Maybe that would also be who we're eating for, the friends we didn't have. And in the who I'm eating for, one person said that his father used to come home from work late with a dinner. Two guys said that their fathers came home late with their dinner and shared it with them as kids. Then this was after they'd eaten their regular dinner with the mother and the family. Another said that he ate because his spouse was also a compulsive overeater, and they would binge together. It is sort of a habit for a lot of us just to eat more than we really should. I'm reminded of something that, I'm reminded of something that helped me a lot, and that somebody said, you know, to me one time, early in my OA experience, the garbage can be your best friend. I had a very difficult time getting to know that. Now, we really didn't get very far into the accept admit part, but we all felt that if we hadn't accepted the disease and admitted the disease and accepted the disease, we wouldn't even be here trying to work on overcoming our disease a day at a time and managing it. We didn't even get to the part about what do we want to say to somebody, but the discussion was God's. That was a fly for those of you who are listening on tape. The discussion was pretty rich and very enlightening, and I wish we'd had more time, and I'd like to go on this further. Thank you.
The fact that what you mentioned about the garbage pail, I think that is so true. You know, today I don't feel guilty throwing away food, whereas before I don't know what it was that I had to keep it and eat it for later on. So I can tell you right now, I eat spoiled food, frozen food. You know, food that was very suspicious, it no longer looked like it did before. You know, so I definitely don't do food like normal people. And if I ever threw something away, it was so funny. We were an event, a social event, and it was an anniversary, and they had a huge cake there. Well, a lot of these people were all normies. They didn't eat cake, so there was a lot left. So I invited a couple of my sponsees to help me with the cleanup, because I was in charge of the cleanup. And he comes up to me and says, "What do we do with the cake?" I said, "Well, let me go ask." So I asked the chairperson, "What are we going to do with the rest of the cake?" She says, "Oh, throw it away." So I went up to him, I said, "Throw it away." And he goes, "What?" I said, "Throw." He says, "But that's a big cake." I said, "Yeah, throw it away." He comes back and says, "You want me to throw away the cake?" I said, "Throw it away, John." He couldn't understand that, and I could so much relate to that. So much relate to that, that there was something about throwing away food was going against my whole grain. I felt that it was a betrayal or something, and today, that to throw away food, so what? It's food. That's all it is. It's just food. Unfortunately, I was answering my feelings with food, and what were my feelings? My feelings were resentments, fears, boredom, you know. And don't confuse boredom with serenity either. A lot of us confuse boredom with serenity, and that's not true. You know, boredom is the underlying feeling of anxiety that's coming your way, you know, at any moment. So these are the things that we're trying to look at, that we're trying to see. As we've picked the scab and we start seeing what it's all about, you're going to be able to go back and get the healing that really needs to take place. So food will not be much of a hassle anymore. You know, to surrender to win is, you have to be willing to stop the battle, you know, and be willing, like I said last night, to be whisked away by another army or somebody else's will, you know, and this is what it's all about today. So we're going to go ahead and break, and we'll see you guys at 6 o'clock. Have a good time. Yes. Gil. Hey, Gil.
every year I go out on the basketball court and